content of the following program is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, treatment, or cure. Always consult your physician or a health professional with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition.
One Life Radio appreciates the support from our sponsors. Make sure you check out these great companies. Sun Warrior, the pioneers of plant-based protein. Go to sunwarrior.com and use the code OLR for 20% off your order. Enviromedica, makers of Terraflora and new Immuniflora. Learn more at enviromedica.com. Castor and Pollux, extraordinary pet food that has set the new standard of purposeful pet food. Paleo Magazine is now all digital, so you can go to paleomagazine.com and subscribe. Also, the Wellbeing Journal, combining physical, mental, emotional, spiritual, and social aspects of health. VegWorld Magazine. Sign up and get a free online subscription at VegWorldMag.com. The International Society of Sports Nutrition, the only nonprofit academic society dedicated to sports nutrition and supplementation. Learn more at SportsNutritionSociety.org. And Thorne Research, redefining what it means to be well and pushing the limits of human potential. Go to the sponsor page at OneLifeRadio.com for links and listener discounts. Thank you for listening to One Life Radio.
You're listening to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Junior. We are broadcasting live from Dallas, Texas on iHeartMedia as well as KMET in Southern, and I almost said Sunny Southern. I always do that. Have to decide whether I want to say Sunny Southern or Southern. But it's sunny Southern California, right?
Yeah.
On ABC News Talk. Just the little nuances behind the scenes of stuff I go through every day.
Yeah, little things like that.
Oh, my gosh. Well, happy Thanksgiving week, everyone. It is a time for gratitude and joy. I'm feeling it. I love Thanksgiving. It's probably my favorite holiday.
Oh, really? So.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, it's a. I enjoy it too. I love getting together with family and friends, and you know we don't have family here in Texas, so we get together with friends and stuff, and it's so much fun.
Oh yeah, yeah, and I love. I think it's just such a good place to be in your mind, and to have gratitude always, especially right now with so much going on in the world. Everybody's going through so much, and. You know, I think that gratitude is what gets all of us through tough times. And so here's to Thanksgiving. Yay.
Yes. Yes.
Are you going to cook? Are you going to cook, Junior?
I do like I help with like the sides and stuff. But my wife really she shines this time of year. This is her thing. So, yeah, I the times that I cook is more when it's like grilling stuff or like the side items. But she'll handle the main stuff and she's really good at it.
Yeah, I bet she is. Well, She's 100% Italian.
She's I think she's something like that. I don't know. She's like 75, I think. Yeah. But on her grandmother's side, there is also Hungarian. But other than that, it's all Italian. Yeah.
Wow. Well, you know, there's a lot of great Hungarian recipes out there, too, you know. But that's the thing about Thanksgiving is everyone can, you know, add to the flavor and the fun and bring their favorite dishes. I'm making beets. And I'm making my celery root mashed potatoes and I may even make some stuffed shells. I'm thinking about starting my sauce tomorrow.
Man.
Yeah. I mean, cause so I don't do the turkey, but I love the mashed potatoes and all the other stuff, but I might see if I can get a tofurkey somewhere if they're not sold out. Have you ever had a tofurkey?
I have not. I have not. Is it good?
Well, I haven't had one in years. There's a new one that came out with field roast.
Oh, okay.
It's supposed to be a really good one. I have not checked them out, though, in the last couple of years. So I typically just make like, oh, my gosh, what is it called? I can't think of it. It's right at the tip of my tongue. I'll either make Italian or I make Mexican food, believe it or not. Chili relleno. I make a wonderful vegetarian chili relleno, and I kill it.
Nice.
I'm not kidding you. It's so good. And I have to have a sous chef, and it takes me about 5 hours to make a pan of it.
Oh, wow.
It's that complicated.
Wow.
But I always kill it.
Yeah, you can't go wrong with Mexican or Italian food. So
yeah, you can't. So or whatever it may be. But it's great to be here. It's great to be live from Dallas, Texas, doing the show today. And we've got a great show coming up at the half. We've got Kip Watson and we've got Autumn Connolly on the line. I believe. Are you there, Autumn?
I'm here.
How you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you this morning?
I'm good. I'm good. I'm so happy that it's Thanksgiving week. I really am. I'm looking forward to taking a couple days off. It's been a while, and doing lots of cooking and just, you know, playing with the kids and doing all the, and the dogs. And, you know, I got my Christmas tree up, doing all the things that you're supposed to do if you can, right?
sure.
But my Christmas tree made it through another year. I was determined that I was not going to recycle it, that I was going to get at least another year out of it. And I did. So the lights are working and everything's beautiful. But we've got a fantastic show today. It's actually kind of funny. You know, Autumn typically picks the topic that we talk about, and we're talking about how to change your life with affirmations. And all I can think of when you pick this topic is that guy that used to be on Saturday Night Live, Jack Hanby. Was that his name? Does anybody remember?
I don't remember the names. I never watched it enough to know names, but I do know that there are some pretty funny things on it.
Yeah, Junior, do you know who I'm talking about? And he would look in the mirror and what, you know, do you know what it's, I'm talking about?
Yeah, the name sounds so familiar, but I can't picture the face, but I that name does sound familiar.
Yeah, it was just kind of this thing about positive affirmations, and he would go, doggone it, and I can't even remember, you know, it's been a long time since that was on Saturday Night Live, but I love this topic. I think it's so important because I do believe that you can change your mind through positive affirmations. So let's talk about this. What's an affirmation, first of all, for people that maybe don't completely understand what it means?
Well, it's something, you know, it can be as silly as kind of like what skits kind of make it out to be, where, you know, you stare at yourself in the mirror and tell yourself how much you love yourself. But then realistically, it can be pretty much anything and any topic and any change that you want to see in your life. And it's essentially just a way to reprogram your subconscious thinking into, you know, into changing your brain waves or your thought patterns. Mm-hmm. And so there are phrases that you come up with that are pertinent to some change you'd like to see in yourself that you then repeat to yourself either throughout the day or, you know, during meditative states, or you even, my favorite thing to do with them, honestly, is to use them to replace a negative thought. So, you know, the mind can only really think one thought at a time. So if the mm-hmm. negative thought creeps in and you have a positive affirmation that you kind of got on standby, you can just throw that out instead, and it cancels out the other one.
Well, you know, coincidentally, affirmations seem to be trending on social media. Here's one that I read this morning. You're manifesting a man who's going to be your best friend and the best sex you've ever had. He's going to be emotionally and financially stable, loyal and generous. And then there was one that says, I affirm that in November, my bank account will increase beyond what I can spend. And I mean, and they just go on and on. But I mean, that's kind of crazy.
Well, you know, so they are trending, I will say that, on social media especially. I will say the difference between something like that and an actual affirmation is the affirmation assumes it in the now. It assumes that it's already transpired. So rather than saying, I'm going to meet this, you know, Mr. Perfect here in November or whatever, your affirmation would be, I have met Mr. Perfect. Mm-hmm. So what you're doing is the neuroplasticity in your brain, you know, it basically these little grooves that your brain essentially, it's like the path of least resistance in your mind. Mm-hmm. And what you're doing is you're, instead of taking it down this negative path of, I have not yet met Mr. Perfect, you're going to create a new path. So you're making it easier. You're making it, your brain stretch in this positive direction rather than follow this old path. So in order to do that, the assumption has to be that it's already transpired.
Hmm. Okay, so Junior, do you ever do any affirmations? Do you look in the mirror?
No, but I mean, I write things down. Like I have like I have like a list that I write down of like goals and things that I want to achieve. And, you know, I actually started like setting them small, you know, like I started doing things like, okay, this is what I want to complete for the week. And then this is what I want to do for the month and do it like that. So, but yeah, I do have lists.
Hmm. What do you, is that part of it too? Autumn is keeping a list?
Oh, sure. You can write down your list. In fact, you know, a lot of times one of the greatest ways to get to your subconscious is to write things down. But again, it would be different than a goal. A goal is something that you're looking forward to in the future. An affirmation is something that you're assuming you've already got right now. So if you're wanting to say, Let's say you want a new job, you know, instead of saying, I am going to manifest a new job, or in 6 months' time, I'd like to have a job where I feel appreciated and I'm paid well and all this. Instead, you would write down in your journal or whatever, I have the job of my dreams. I am making good money. I am enjoying my coworkers, that sort of thing. So it's a little bit of a difference than writing down a goal. A goal, not to say that it's different in that, you know, I mean, realistically, if it hasn't happened yet, it hasn't happened yet, right? So It's still a goal. But the way that the brain works, an affirmation is actually changing the neural pattern. So in order for it to change the neural pattern, you have to convince yourself that it's already true. And the only way you are able to convince yourself that it's already true is through repetition and using current language.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that words are responsible for pretty much everything that we hold true, you know.
Oh, for sure.
They are. And yet we rarely recognize the magnitude of our speech. So many people are not impeccable with their word. And that energy that they throw out there, whether good is always good, but when it's bad, wow, you know, it can do a lot of harm, not only to the people that you're projecting it at, but also to yourself, because it's not good for your heart or your soul to behave that way. So, you know, there's some nice, I'm reading this article too about 35 affirmations that will change your life. It says a major step to changing your life is changing the way you relate to your problems and by extension, the way you speak about them. And so here's an example. So it says, I am more powerful than my pain. I have the strength to defeat any adversity. I break through barriers and leap over hurdles. Nothing is as great as my own power. Stuff like that, right?
Yeah, I like stuff like that, but I also like to make stuff a little bit more personal. I find that for myself, in order to really believe something, there's got to be an element of it ringing true for my exact life, meaning rather than just a blanket statement of I'm able to leap over hurdles, which is obviously a lot of times a concern in my life, I would like to list a specific hurdle.
Yeah,
so that way, when that stress or when that thought, when the negative thought comes in, say, you know, there's some home project that I'm needing to get done. And instead of when that negative thought crosses my mind, instead of having just a generic positive affirmation to put in its place, I have actually the counterbalance to that negative one. So that way I'm able to say this home project is completed and, you know, was within budget and, you know, it has been done well. And so I have that to immediately counteract something. Whereas if it's a generic thing, then you're less likely to apply it to the specific stressors that are just, you know, ping-ponging around in our minds all times throughout the day.
All right. You are unstoppable. We're going to go to break, and we will be right back. More coming up with Autumn Connolly and affirmations. Stay tuned, everyone. You're listening to One Life Radio live from Dallas, Texas.
On social media at One Life Radio.
All right. And that's the power of love. Oh, I love it. Everyone, Welcome back. You're listening to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Junior Live. We are broadcasting from Dallas, Texas on iHeartMedia as well as KMET in sunny Southern California on ABC News Talk. We have Autumn Connolly with us. She lives in the Sky Islands of Arizona with her three kiddos and animal babies. She is the creator of Anvil Traditional Healing, a company dedicated to restoring microbiome health through diet. Autumn is also a self-taught vegan chef, a serial gardener, and an avid believer in and a teacher of the healing powers of meditation. You can contact her at meditatewithautumn@gmail.com. That's meditatewithautumn@gmail.com. Today, we're talking about how to change your life with affirmations. Okay, so how do the affirmations work, Autumn?
You know, they really just work by increasing the areas of the brain that have positive self-referential thoughts. And, you know, people can say that they're magic or there's some superstition or some spirituality behind them. But scientifically speaking, our brain is capable of both positive and negative thoughts. And whichever one we kind of feed into, that's the area of our brain that grows more. And the more we remind ourselves of positive attributes and the more we believe in our own integrity and our own self-worth, then the more we kind of see that play out in our life.
Well, yeah. So it's what?
I was just going to say, it's a really interesting concept, you know, to believe that you can actually just by sitting there for 5 or 10 minutes a day and telling yourself that you are able to succeed at X, Y, or Z, that your brain actually changes.
Mm-hmm. Well, what's the best way to get started for those out there listening, thinking, I think I want to do that. So how do they get started?
My first advice to anybody wanting to make some sort of life change or commitment to some sort of change is to pick a time and to stick to it. So, you know, decide how you want your practice to be, decide what you want your affirmation to be. Generally, I think focusing on one thing is best, particularly when it's a new practice for you, but get weird about it. You know, if you're going to do it every morning at 5:30 a.m., don't ever skip a morning, you know, make it so that at 5:30 in the morning or 6:30, whenever you get up, you know, that's the time that you do it. Or if you want to do it after lunch, you know, just make sure that no matter what, you don't let yourself stray from this commitment every single day to practice it. And like I said, I'm super busy, and I do a regular practice, you know, a meditation practice, spiritual practice, that sort of thing. And I incorporate my affirmations into that and into my journaling. But then I also, you know, I use them to replace negative thoughts throughout my day and throughout my night as well. So once you're a little bit more accustomed to the concept, then you can really sky's the limit with what you can do.
Well, you know who I'm thinking of? We actually talked about it last week with Jason Harris, is Muhammad Ali. He was the greatest, you know,
sure.
And he told everybody that. What was the expression, Junior? Dance like a butterfly, sting like a bee. I am the greatest fighter. Yeah. And he believed it, and he was because he was. But, you know, I mean, he had to have times in his life where he questioned if he was the greatest, but his affirmations made it so, which is, you know, what we're talking about today. If you're just now joining us, we're with Autumn Connolly, talking about how to change your life with affirmations. Okay, so how long does it take to see results of affirmations?
That's always everybody's favorite question. Like, you know, let's get this show on the road. And patience is the key. You know, nothing's going to change. I would retract that. Sometimes things do change overnight, and sometimes you can notice an immediate difference, particularly if you're in a highly stressful situation where the positive affirmations are just ratcheting down your stress level a little bit, might allow you to see life a little more clearly. But for the most part, if you're wanting to manifest, as we were joking about earlier, you know, the man of your dreams or the job of your dreams or the body of your dreams, whatever it is, you know, things don't happen overnight.
No, they don't.
And so what you're doing is you're reprogramming your subconscious attitude. You're reprogramming how your brain, how the neuroplasticity is actually conducting within your brain. And what is going to happen is you're going to soon see these opportunities to fulfill these desires on your own, and you've got to take these action steps towards it. If every day I say I want to lose 10 pounds, but I don't do anything to actually actively, you know, lose it, whether that's eating or exercise or, you know, taking long walks and deep breathing, whatever it is, I'm not actually, you know, you've got to, at some point your brain's going to go, oh, this is something that I want. This is something I believe. And how would a person who's 10 pounds thinner than me behave? You know, and it'll all be a subconscious thing, mm-hmm. but you're going to start being nudged by your subconscious to take these action steps. And that's where the change is going to start. And it will be gradual for the most part, particularly, you know, the bigger the change. But it's something that I just like to remind myself, and I like to remind other people too, is to not give up, you know, because the patient plays an important role. Mm-hmm, the patience mm-hmm. is a part of the process as well. And as long as you can have that patience and you can be diligent in your practice, then I think you could completely change your life.
I love it. You have to kind of speak to become. You're making me think of my favorite movie, you know, because let me start with this, you know, like being mindful of your words and your thoughts, they multiply your inner power and strength and help you to uphold a positive perspective, in my opinion. And when you were speaking, I was thinking of something that I have told myself when I've been down from time to time or in a bad relationship. And it's a quote from the movie Legally Blonde, which is one of my favorite movies. I don't know if you remember the movie or the quote, but it was the professor after she had just found out that her boyfriend was a total bonehead. And the professor said to Elle Woods, "If you're going to let one stupid prick bring you down, then you're not the girl that I thought that you were." And I've always loved that and used that as my affirmation or inspiration, as you will, to get over hurdles in my life because people will let you down. And so I think that you have to speak to become, like I said at the beginning.
There's a book that I like. The author it's an old author, but the name of the book is the only thing that is really important to this conversation, but it's called Your Word is Your Wand. And that's something I think about often. You know, if you have all the magic to create the life you want in your own word, and it's a pretty powerful thing when you just think about it as that simple.
Mm-hmm. Well, so for someone maybe just now joining us, we're talking about affirmations. Affirmations really, they truly can change your life, can't they, Autumn? Because they get inside your head and give you enough momentum, if you will, to start believing in yourself and your dreams.
Right.
And so what are some of the things that you say to yourself? Can you share some of your personal ones with us?
Yeah. I live in this small town, and it's difficult for, there's a lot of things around here that are difficult, but it's beautiful and I'm lucky to be here. But there's a lot of things that, you know, with work and everything. And one of the things I like to say to myself is that my supply, which to me means multiple things, my energetic supply, my spiritual supply, my love, my monetary income, everything like that, my supply is endless and it's inexhaustive and it's immediate. And it comes to me under grace at perfect timing. Meaning when I feel drained, whether it's emotionally drained or physically drained from my children and my pets and my everything that I do all day, or financially drained because as right now, as we're talking, the front wall of my house is being taken down and replaced with a new front. Yeah, it's being replaced with a new front wall, which is rather big project. But, you know, I start worrying. And instead of that worry, what I say is I go back to that statement. And it's a little bit lengthy, but to me, it means so much. It can encompass pretty much any concern or any worry that I have. It can blanket a concern I have over one of my children's behavior or health, or it can blanket a concern I have over, something going on with my neighbor, or, you know, something going on with my pets or my business, anything. And I can just immediately reverse a negative thought and turn it into that. And suddenly I feel a sense of calm. And I feel like, yeah, you know, there's no sense to worry about this, because whatever is being taken right now as a necessity of life, it will be replenished at the instant that I need it. And I don't have to worry about it. And thus far, it always has been. So.
I can just see you out on your front porch every morning singing, "I have confidence in sunshine," you know? Oh my goodness. Well, it's always so great to have you on the air. And I'm guessing you're going to be doing a lot of cooking for Thanksgiving.
You know, I do. I've got a non-traditional that has somehow some become somewhat of our traditional meal that I cook. It's sesame, toasted sesame glazed sweet potatoes, garlic and lemon wilted spinach, and then brown buttered and sage tofu.
Oh, yum.
So,
yum.
Yeah.
It's yeah, no,
simple, but it's yummy.
Well, you and I have cooked together before, and you are an amazing cook. You really are, and hopefully we'll get to do that sometime here in the near future. But have a beautiful,
yes,
wonderful Thanksgiving with your three darling little children. Oh, my gosh, you guys, they're so sweet. You should see them. I've had the honor of hanging with them multiple times, and they're just the best kids, like mother, like daughter. And
son.
Like mother, like son, because you've got boys and girls, but always great. Great, Autumn. Have a super holiday. And
thank
you so much. Enjoy your family. Everyone, stay tuned. We've got more coming up. Oh, and by the way, you can reach Autumn at meditatewithautumn@gmail.com. That's meditatewithautumn@gmail.com. We've got Kip Watson coming up next, trauma and teletherapy. Stay tuned, everyone. You're listening to One Life Radio.
Masterpiece. You should be rolling with me. You should be rolling with me. You're a real life fantasy. You're a real life fantasy. But you're moving so carefully. Let's start living dangerously. Talk to me, baby.
Listening to One Life Radio. Make sure you check out our podcast and get to know the show at oneliferadio.com.
Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to One Life Radio. We are live from Dallas, Texas. This is Bernadette with Junior and our special guest. She's back, Kip Watson. She is a licensed professional counselor and supervisor and sports psychology professional. She holds two master's degrees and has 20 years of experience working with athletes, coaches, families, and corporate teams. Kip is also a certified high-performance coach, former professional athlete, and mom of two. You can find her on Twitter at KipFit. Today, we're talking about trauma and teletherapy. So, how are you doing today, Kip? Great to have you on the show.
I'm good. Well, thanks. Always good to be here.
Kip's been on the show from the very beginning, for those of you that maybe, you know, haven't listened in a while or maybe for the first time. And we've had so many great conversations, and I'm really looking forward to this topic today because I feel it's very important. The mental health of our country right now is at a critical point, and anyone, mostly everybody knows it. I mean, even myself, I stay pretty upbeat most of the time, and even I have found myself getting depressed recently, and I'm like, oh my gosh, I can only imagine how other people are suffering because, you know, like I said, I'm usually a pretty joyful person. I find a way to find happiness one way or another through even little things, which is really where you find them, right?
Exactly.
So, but mental health treatment has faced a significant adjustment in 2020 this teletherapy. So how is it working, and how have you personally adjusted?
Well, for me, it's been a pretty easy adjustment. I've been doing what is now commonly called telehealth sessions. I've been doing that for a number of years because I have athletes all over the country. I have had a few clients even outside of the country. And so this is obviously the way we would have to do a session. Mm-hmm. So the adjustment for me has been relatively easy. I will say, you know, I'm probably about 50-50 and 50%, you know, online, 50% in person. And I think it was hard for a lot of mental health professionals to decide,
do I go totally online, or do I try to do a mixture? Do I try to still see people in person? Because we were considered, you know, we could stay open even during mm-hmm. the quarantine. We were essential business, so we could keep our offices open. And I know some of my colleagues have even closed their physical office, and now that's all they do is wow. online telehealth. And okay. so for some people, it really has changed the way they do business. For me, not as much.
I've always, anytime I've done psychotherapy in the last 5 years, it's not been in person. It's been over the phone. So, which is, see, it's effective. I don't know. I'm a voice person though, kind of, as long as I have mm-hmm. that person's, you know, voice in my ears, I'm good. But, I don't yeah. see necessity for being in person, but a lot of people do. You know, you sent an mm-hmm. article, you emailed me an article, about a woman who really had a difficult time because of abandonment yeah. issues that she had as a child. Can we talk about that
right.
and how some people really cannot handle, doing therapy by, doing it virtually or by telephone?
Yeah, I think there are some populations that have definitely struggled with this new shift. And people that have had significant trauma, abuse, or abandonment in their life, especially early, or people that really struggle with high levels of depression, where they may be, you know, bordering on being suicidal.
Mm-hmm.
And those populations definitely do better when they can process, say, the trauma or the depression, the abandonment in the physical presence of a therapist. And you also, you know, at least for the therapist too, in trying to do that kind of significant work, like say over Zoom or even over the phone, you're not necessarily there to make sure that they're kind of physically okay once the session ends.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you're doing it in person, in the process, you're making sure that, you know, we're back in a place that's safe, you're safe. There's a sense of hope before you leave my office. And that's a little bit more difficult when you're doing it over the phone or through, you know, a Zoom session.
Well, yeah, and especially if it's the first time meeting that therapist, you know, to meet them. Yeah, in a Zoom call as opposed to in person has got to be incredibly difficult, especially if you're having a lot of anxiety or even severe mental health issues. You know, what about somebody who's schizophrenic and has trust issues and or maybe can't focus because they're not in the therapist's chair? How are you addressing all those challenges?
Well, it's very difficult. And I would say over telehealth through phone or Zoom, it is much harder to what we call establish rapport with the client because you're not physically there picking up on mannerisms and body language and, mm-hmm. and things like that. And so it is much more difficult. It's more what we call one-dimensional.
Mm-hmm.
And certainly, you know, we've talked about it and you've probably done other shows on it, on what does your nonverbal communicate? And that, you know, roughly 80 to 90% of our communication is nonverbal. Mm-hmm. And so when you're meeting through an artificial means rather than in person, it is considerably more difficult with people that are struggling with significant mental health issues.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what populations have struggled with this the most, with this shift?
Yeah, I would say those, like you read in the article, someone who has like abandonment issues, say from parents early on in their life, people that have suffered some sort of abuse, whether it's sexual abuse, physical abuse, mental, emotional abuse, and people that are dealing with, you know, perhaps even like personality disorders such as borderline personality disorder, or you mentioned schizophrenia, mm-hmm. it's going to make it much more difficult to progress in treatment. Not impossible, just more difficult. And I think it presents a challenge for the therapist to actually be more on than perhaps they would necessarily be when they're in person, because you have to try to, over a Zoom session, engage more with those nonverbal communication things. So you have to what I've learned is I really have to be intentional about my, even like my tone of voice when I'm engaging someone, even for the first time.
But there are some upsides to this too, because of quarantine, due to COVID-19, a lot of people that aren't able to leave home wouldn't be able to get treatment. But this way they can at least do it by Zoom or over the telephone. And so that part is good. You know, rather than no therapy, right?
Well, right. It is actually, it's one of the more beautiful things I think that we've been able to do as a business, as a section of the medical community, is very much continue treatment with clients. You know, my business for me hasn't stopped one iota even through quarantine. Mm-hmm. You know, initially I had a drop in what we would call my census or my population each week. But really, that only lasted for maybe 3 weeks, and then things have just been super busy. And I think what you mentioned at the beginning of this segment is, you know, this whole situation, the adjustments that the world has gone through, that America has gone through, along with, you know, the racial tensions and the election tensions, and there's just been a surge of anxiety and depression and struggle. Yeah. And so it's available. I mean, people, it is available. There are therapists that do online counseling, online therapy, online coaching, and nothing should stop you from seeking that out if you need it.
Absolutely. Well, we're going to go to break. More coming up, everyone, with Kip Watson. We're talking about trauma and teletherapy. And I think I'm going to ask you for some tips dealing with depression and anxiety. After the break, Kip Watson. Stay tuned, everyone. You're listening to One Life Radio.
On Facebook, hit like and follow us at One Life Radio.
Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Junior, and we are broadcasting live from Dallas, Texas, as well as KMET in Southern California on ABC News Talk. We are continuing on with Kip Watson. She is a licensed professional counselor and supervisor and sports psychology professional. She holds 2 master's degrees and has 20 years of experience working with athletes, coaches, families, and corporate teams. Kip is also a certified high-performance coach, former professional athlete, and mom of 2. You can find her on Twitter at KipFit. I love this woman, and I love having her on the show. She's been on for a very long time, right from the beginning. And today we're talking about trauma and teletherapy. So, you know, when teletherapy is a trigger for trauma, what can be, what can the client do if they can't see their therapist in person? What are some of the things that they can do to assuage their fear?
Well, first thing is you may want to switch therapists. And as terrifying as that may seem, if your therapist is not willing to do in-person sessions, you need to find one who will. Mm. And that can be hard, but it's it presents that you know, that thing of change and building trust again. But it's a good thing to do. And I think you can actually request of your therapist that you want an in-person session. I mean, I have a thermometer here in my office. You know, I spray things down. We wear masks in the common areas. I ask that people it's just common sense, right? Don't show up if you've been sick or if you're showing any kind of symptoms. I think the thing is, we cannot be afraid to live our life. And if this is an essential part of your life, then you need to request that of your therapist. Now, as a therapist, right, we're required to do no harm. And so I, you know, for me, I made the decision to offer both online and in-person therapy. There were some therapists that I know that felt like in-person would be doing harm. And I'm like, there's no harm if you're both healthy. And if a person such as a trauma, a client who's who has gone through trauma, they need to be able to have that in-person session. And I think if that's not an option, then you realize that the online presence is going to take time to make the adjustment to online therapy, but you can also make that adjustment and it can be just as effective.
Well, what makes this style of therapy work and can actually be more helpful, right, for things like stigma or time or flexibility?
Well, for sure. Like, I know a lot of my corporate clients, it just became, you know, another meeting that they put in their day. Like, they didn't have to leave the office, come here, and drive back. So it became much easier for a lot of people who may be at a distance, or that way it only takes the hour of their time versus maybe 2 hours in terms of travel time or whatever, you know, that type of thing. And I think, too, what I've noticed is, a lot of times I get to experience firsthand with my clients their everyday challenges, their everyday challenges in their life, whether it's a pet walking in front of the camera or whether it's a kid that interrupts the session or, you know, something like that. And so then you get to actually have more of a personal look at what's going on in your clients' lives and then use those things intentionally in the session.
I like that. And that's a great attitude to have about it too, because you do, I'm thinking back to times I've been on the phone with my therapist and you know, one of my daughters might come out, "Mom, where's the laundry soap?" or, you know, whatever.
Right.
And so stuff like that, it does happen. But you know, the advantages of online therapy is it is convenient. And what about cost? Is it true that some insurance companies won't pay though, if it's online? Why is that?
Because I think they deem it not as effective. Now, most insurance companies during this 2020 COVID season have permitted it and are paying it. But there are some that won't continue that forever. And then there's some, and I've certainly you've seen the rise, too, of even apps that offer telehealth or teletherapy. You know, it just gets into, I think, for the insurance companies, some sticky water in terms of liability. But I definitely, that's also on the therapist to let their clients know kind of what we've been talking about, sort of, you know, there are challenges and then some positives to that type of therapy.
Yeah. And I, you know, I was talking to a friend of mine this morning and she really gave some really good advice for everyone, and that we can all just try to just relax. We're going to get through this. You know, 2021 is right around the corner. We've got a few more months of this, maybe even a year, but this is a time to, you know, chill out. You know, stuff happens in life and you gotta ride the wave kind of. It was really cool what she said to me. And I'm like, I like that. You know, I really like that. I'm going to carry that with me today. And maybe moving forward, I just think it's a good message because so many people are so worried right now about the future and what's to come, you know, both politically, financially, you know, you know, health wise. I mean, it's a very scary time, I think, for everybody all over the world. And so what are some great tips that you can give everyone out there listening, Kip, of how to lessen their anxiety and their fear and their depression?
Well, the tips that I'm going to give are the things that I would say no matter what the challenges you're facing, you have to keep doing these things. They need to be a part of your lifestyle because we can't stop things like this from happening. Now, obviously, nobody, right, predicted or thought we'd be going through the kind of year that we've gone through here in America with all the different things that we have faced. But I would say your best lifestyle has got to be the way you face any challenge, whether it's personal or more global, like what we've experienced. Mm-hmm. So that can be things like maintaining a morning and PM routine of such things like you discussed earlier in the hour. Do personal development time. Always be someone who's willing to learn, whether that's doing meditation, some sort of affirmations, reading a personal development book. So we like to call them self-help books, or reading from a faith-based book like the Bible or whatever your faith is. Exercise has got to be a daily thing. Mm-hmm. And that is so important. I would say staying hydrated with water, at least 85 fluid ounces every single day. Eating, I like to call it eating clean, mm-hmm. but avoiding processed food, fast yeah. food, really getting in those fruits and vegetables, lean protein, whole grains, essential fats. Like, you want your brain and body being able to face the challenges and the stresses that it's going to face, whether it's financial yeah. or an illness or whatever it is. So the way you do that is to take care of yourself first and foremost.
And don't forget to breathe. The rate
and well,
depth.
Well, breathing and maintaining
yes.
your connections
yes.
mean something to you.
Well, the rate and the depth that we breathe is a huge determinant of our mental state. And practicing gratitude, even in hardship, we should be
yes.
grateful for all the lessons
Absolutely.
Contained therein. Tatiana Denning wrote that, not me. I always want to give credit where credit is due. Kip, thank you so much. You have a wonderful, beautiful Thanksgiving with your family. Hopefully, I'll get to see you over the long weekend at some point. Everyone out
thank
there, thank
you.
Thank you so much, Kip. Everyone, thank you so much for listening. Oh my gosh, have a great day. It's Monday, and you get one body, you get one mind, and you get one life. Get out there today and make the most of it.